2 Corinthians chapter 5. While you're finding your place, I remind you that I began a little series last Sunday morning that is continuing all day today and continuing also all day next Sunday, God willing, on the love of God. And the application in this love month here, the month of February, as we're focused on this, we're thinking about the love of God for us. We're studying His love and how much He loves us, what it looks like, all of these things. And the major application we're making with it is we're applying it to our marriages. Those that are married, those getting ready to get married, all these kind of things. But just in case that's not you, we are focused mainly on the love of God. And this is how He loves you. This is how He loves me. And this is how we should love one another. I would like to just make mention that today is Brother Harry Vickers' birthday. I don't know if he's in here or not, but it's his birthday. And also my grandmother's birthday. My grandmother plays the organ right over here. She is. And she's been playing the organ for how many years? Close to 69 years she has been playing the organ at Buffalo Ridge. She hasn't moved. She stayed right behind the organ for 69 years. All of this, that's very good. And I appreciate my grandmother. Today is her birthday. I'm not going to ask her how old she is. I know better than that. But I wish her a happy birthday today. And she told me she's 85. I hope you don't mind me sharing. There's people watching live on this. That's all right. Anyway, happy birthday to her. I appreciate that. Appreciate her faithfulness down through the years and all of this staying right with it. So happy birthday to her. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me pray with you and just make a few statements. And we're studying this love of God. Every verse that I quote or every verse that I give is what kind of love? Somebody tell me. What kind of love is it? It's agape love. You say, what's that? That's the Greek word, okay? There are three kinds of love that's found in the Bible. It's phileo love. These are the original words. I do not refer to the original language often, but this is the basis of this entire sermon. You either have the word phileo, that's translated love, which means brotherly love, like you love your brother, okay? Or you should love your brother, all right? You have, secondly, eros love, also translated love. That is E-R-O-S, where we get our word erotic. That is basically sexual love. But then we're looking at the love of God. And this is also translated love in our King James Bibles here. And that word is the word agape. That is God's love. That's supernatural love. That's not eros, it's not phileo, it's agape love. So as we consider the agape love of God, we're studying this and what kind of love it is. Now, we've already preached two sermons on this. I strongly encourage you, if you were not here last week, to go back and get it, okay? This is part 3 to this series this morning. Tonight will be part 4. Next Sunday morning, part 5. Next Sunday night, part 6, and we'll conclude it then. As we study the love of God, applying it to our marriages, specifically today. Now, for our study today, we pick up with point number 5. And this is, as we're studying, actually point number 6, we're looking at this kind of love. What kind of a love is it? Now, the first 5 I gave to you last week, I pick up with point 6. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse number 14. The love of God that we should have for one another, and specifically husbands and wives have for each other, is this love is a constraining love. It's a constraining love. Now, for this to make sense, you need to go back and get last week's sermons as far as why it's all C's, okay? Constraining love. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, for the love. Now, keep in mind, any verse that I refer you to in the original language, that word love there is agape, okay? Agape. That's God's love. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Constraineth us. Now in this verse, the Apostle Paul said that the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constraineth means to arrest. It means to keep in. It means to stop or to be taken with. It means, when you look at what Paul is saying, he's saying the love of Christ has conquered me. Now, there were certain things, now get this, in context, when you read all of this and look at Paul's life, there were certain things that Paul would do and certain things he would not do because of the love of Christ that Christ had for him. It's as if Paul was saying here that I am doing some things and I choose not to do other things because he loves me so much. You with me? The love of Christ stopped him. The love of Christ arrested him. The love of Christ conquered him. Now, in the same way, the love of Christ should constrain us today too. When we truly see how much he loves us, it constrains us. Everybody with me where I'm going here? There are certain things, get this, when you really see how much Jesus Christ loves you, it constrains you not to do some things. And it also constrains you to do other things. For instance, I choose to do certain things and not do other things because he loves me so much. He died for me and I desire to please him. His love has arrested me. His love has constrained me. Agape love always does this. It conquers. It arrests. It stops. Dr. Clarence Sexton said this, and I quote, "It would be wonderful," talking to the husband here, "it would be wonderful if your wife could say, I never thought I could live in this life and be married to someone who loves me as you love me and cares for me as you care for me, giving me the attention that you give me." You know, a spouse who is loved with agape love, listen to me please. A spouse, a husband or a wife who is loved with agape love will be constrained by it and will find it hard. I didn't say impossible, but will find it hard to sin against. Did you hear what I just said? Let us love our mate so much with agape love that it stops them. It arrests them. It conquers them. We need husbands and wives with constraining love. I'm going to tell you something. When we see how much he loves us, we really get a sight of that. We really dwell. We've been singing about that all day. I mean, I got a little glimpse of that in that choir song. Just it was for me he died. For me he cried. It points you towards him to consider his great love for you. When you really understand how much God loves you, it causes you to say, I've got to do something for him. And I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to do that because that displeases him who loves me like he loves me. See where I'm going with this? We need this kind of love in our homes. We need husbands and wives with this kind of love. Let me ask you a question. Is your mate constrained by your love? Are you loving your mate so much that it would be very difficult on them to sin against it? You show me a Christian that's doing things that they should never do, and I show you a Christian who has lost sight of Calvary. Amen. It's okay to say amen here, friends. You can help yourself, okay? That's a good statement I just made right there. You show me somebody who's just living it up, but yet they say, I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm just going to live it up and do my own kind of things. Number one, they're either not saved. Or number two, they have lost sight of the love of God. Because the love of God constrains. It makes it very difficult to sin against it. It doesn't mean we don't because we're not perfect. And it does not mean that if you are loving your mate like this, that your mate will never sin against that, will never go somewhere else. I'm not preaching that. But it should not be easy on them to leave. Amen. Your love should arrest your mate. It should conquer them, constrain them. They may still sin against it, but it ought to be they're going to step over my love to do it. A Christian has to step over the love of God to sin against Jesus Christ. It's a constraining love. Let me give you the next thing. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're just looking at the love of God. the kind of love He has for us. This is what He does have for us. And this is what He's commanded us to have for one another, and specifically for husbands to have for wives, and I'm applying it to the marriage relationship. But this is the same kind of love He wants God's children to have for each other. It's the same kind of love He has for the world. And this is the love He has for us. It's a constraining love. Let me give you the next one. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Now this is the most scripture in one reference that I'm going to read. Verse 7 down to verse number 18. Beloved, let us love one another. That's agape. Always agape here. Let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Verse number 18, this is the key verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Here's the next point. God's love for us, that we should have for one another, specifically husbands and wives in their home, is His love is a calming love. It calms us. It calms us. It's been said the love of the Lord Jesus calms us. We as Christians are calmed not by the absence of trouble. Now let this speak to you. We as Christians are not calmed by the absence of trouble, because there's always trouble. Okay? But we are calmed by the presence of the shepherd. The presence of the shepherd drives out our fears. The point is, the love of the Lord casts out fear. You know, this world is filled with hate, crime, and trouble. Right? All you got to do is look around. It's filled with hate. It's filled with crime. It's filled with trouble. However, for the child of God, we find peace and calm in this fact, because we know God loves us. In other words, I mean, there are things all the time that tries to make you afraid. There are troubles and fears and turmoil and lack of peace. All of it. I mean, just bam, pounding you. Pound. But when you dwell on the love of God, it brings peace. It brings calmness. It casts out fear. How do you apply this? Let this speak to you. There is no terror. There is no fear in agape love. I like what Dr. Sexton said. He said this, and I quote. This is the application. There is so much turmoil in Christian homes when there should be so much peace. Does our love for our mate calm their fears? Do we love our mates with this agape love that brings peace to our homes? Let me ask it this way. When you consider your home, is it peaceful? Is it a place of peace? Or is it World War III? You show me a home that is torn up. You show me a home that's constantly troubled. You show me a home that there's no peace. There's no calmness. And I show you a home that has one or both that is not governed by the Spirit of God with agape love. By the way, I'm not out to make friends. Have you not figured it out by now? I'm not preaching to please you. I'm preaching to please God. And this preaching is exactly what he's saying. He's saying perfect love casts out fear. Let me ask you a question. Is your mate afraid you're going to leave them? Are they afraid that you're not there to stay? Are they afraid that they're going to lose you? That is not agape love. Agape love brings peace, calmness. By the way, where would we be if God didn't care if we was troubled or not? You know what God wants? He wants me to be at peace. You know what the world's searching for? Peace. You know what some of you are searching for? Peace. It's not something, it's someone. His name is God. And when he's ruling in your home, his love is flowing through you and it drives fear out and brings in peace, brings in calmness. So is yours calm? Is your relationship calm? Say, well, it is most of the time, but today it's there's a storm brewing. I'm just telling you, you know what I mean? That happens in every relationship. But it should just be a passing cloud, not a thunderstorm. Amen. It's quiet in here today. This is one of those kind of sermons that's a little difficult to preach. You know what I'm saying? Because it's almost like I'm feeling some of you are loving me and some of you can't stand me right now, can you? Don't say amen there, okay? Let me give you the next one. We're just looking at the love of God. What kind of love is it? Today, it's constraining love. It helps us. It stops us. It arrests us. It constrains us to do certain things and not do other things. It's calming love. He doesn't want us afraid. He wants us at peace. Then here's the next one. Turn with me. You're already there. It's the same chapter. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 19. Verse 18, it's calming love. It cast out fear. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Here's the next one. It is causing love. Causing love. This is found here. The demonstration of Christ's love for us causes us to love him back. Let me ask you a question. Why do you love him? The Bible answers this question right here. It's not a trick question. Why do I love him? Let me tell you why I love him. Because he first loved me. What? Now think. If God was some just being out there that just was my enemy, hates me, can't stand me, wants to see me burn in hell, created me so I would burn in hell, and I mean he's just playing a game, you think I want anything to do with him? I wouldn't want one thing to do with him. You wouldn't either. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I can't get over him. I've fallen in love with him. I love God. Don't you love God? Let me tell you why. Because he initiated it. He loved me first. You know what we have in marriages? If she'll love me, I'll love her back. If he'll love me, I'll show him love back. No, you won't. True love does not wait on love first. True love initiates. This is something here that we need to see. When we see this, it causes love in response. The way he speaks to me, the way he treats me, the way he showed his love to me, the way he's there for me all the time, the love of God, the natural response for me, the natural response would be for me to love him back. because of how good He is to me. The more I know Him, the more I love Him. Isn't that true? The more you know Him, the more you love Him. And the more our weight, the more our mate knows our love and care for them, the more they will return it to us. Agape love is love that causes. I've already said it, but in other words, it's a love that initiates. It does not sit back and wait for the mate to love them. It initiates the process and loves first. Loves first. This kind of love causes. Let me ask you a question. Do you speak to your mate with agape love? We are creatures of response. You know that to be true. For instance, if you speak harsh to your mate, more than likely you're probably going to get a harsh response. That doesn't make it right. But it's not. It's called flesh, friends, okay? I mean, if a man comes home and says, I'm tired of these burnt offerings I'm getting for supper. I don't know where that came from, but anyway. That's not a personal testimony either, okay? I know what you're thinking. Then what do you think she's going to do? Oh, okay, sweetie, what would you like for me to cook for you, precious, next time? Now, a spirit-filled lady would do that, but let's be honest, we're not all spirit-filled all the time, amen or not. Let's just get real about here, okay? You say it burns out. So I guarantee you what you'll get next time, amen. Matter of fact, you better let somebody else eat it, no doubt about it. We're creatures of response, are we not? You speak bad to me, I won't speak bad to you. You criticize me, I'm going to criticize you. Doesn't make it right, it means both of us are wrong. You see what I'm saying? Why not capitalize on that truth? You say, instead of, I'm just saying one thing, I don't get any love from him. I don't get any love from her. I don't even know she loves me anymore. I don't think he loves me. Do you love him? Are you sacrificing to show him? Flip it over. I don't think my wife loves me anymore. Do you love her? Are you sacrificing to show her? Let me tell you what I'm glad of. Because if he didn't, we're in major trouble. I'm glad God was not waiting for me to love him first. Because if he did, and if he's waiting on that, none of us are going to heaven. He looked at us when we were unlovely and said, I love them. And because he loves me, it's caused me to love him back. We need this in our marriages. There are too many marriages waiting on the other spouse to act first. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. There are too many marriages that are just waiting. I'll tell you what, one thing. If he'll come step toward me, I'll take one toward him, but I'm not moving until he does. That's not agape love. That's flesh. Agape love acts first. And it helps cause the right response. Now, I'm illustrating something to you here. This does not mean that you'll get the response you want back. Because ultimately, it's two human beings who want their own way that have to constantly submit to the Holy Spirit's filling, okay? Control. But if they sin against our love, it ought to be in spite of our love, not because of the lack of it. If your spouse is not responding right, you need to make sure it's not something you caused. Now, I didn't say you caused it, so don't misquote what I just said. It could be very well that you did not cause it, that you do love them and they sinned against that. That's very possible. But if you're not getting the response you want at home, the first place you need to start with is not God, lay it on them. The first place to start, which is always the place to start, is stand in front of the mirror, get alone with God, and let God point your faults out. And say, God, show me first. You know what I've learned? for me to get the help that I really need, it makes no difference what kind of a problem I'm having. It is very rare for God to put in my mind, it's their fault. Let me tell you something, Jody. If they'll just get that right, everything will be smooth. No, let me tell you what God does. He always turns the camera inward. He'll always say, son, I know that's a problem over there, but you didn't act right. Here's how you should have responded. Can I get an amen there, please? I'm telling you that the devil tries to get you to look at the other person, the other person, the other person, the other person. And God says, look at yourself and let God speak to your heart and let him cause some things in your life and say, God, you know I'm having problems. I hope you're not, but no doubt in a crowd this size, some of you are. I'm having problems in my marriage. I'm having problems in my life. Oh, God, I'm through trying to correct this. Help me love them like you love me. Help me get so right with you that I'm living the way you want me to live, and then you love them through me. Help me be patient. Help me go forward. Help me to do this for the glory of God and start loving each other with this agape love. While a mate may respond wrong, they may respond wrong, we need to see Christ's love has caused us to love him. And we should have a love that it would be very easy for them to respond right to. God wants you to have the marriage that you've always dreamed of. But he will not force it. Kind of lighten it up in here a little bit. I was visiting Brother Harry Greer. Pray for him. He's having some tests run. He's got some places on his brain right here. And they suspect that it could be the melanoma that has spread there. They're not sure. But pray for him. He's a godly man in our church. He and his dear wife. I was visiting with him on Friday morning. Or he told some of you all this, so just bear with me. He's cutting up there. I love that dear man. I'm telling you. He said there's this couple that was married for 50 years. And they asked the man, said, how in the world have you stayed married for that long to this one woman? He said, well, sir, he said, it dates back to when we were newlyweds and we took a trip out to the Grand Canyon. Say, we were there and we rented a mule. We both rode on that one mule from top to bottom. We first started down that canyon and the thing tripped and almost fell off. My wife said, that's number one. Went down a little bit further and about tripped again. She said, that's number two. Went a little bit further and about tripped again. She pulled out a pistol, put it to its head, killed the thing, graveyard dead, and said, that's number three. He said, sir, I turned around that time. I didn't think that was very fair. And I told my wife, I said, honey, you shouldn't have done that. She said, that's number one. And he said, I don't want to get to two, and I for sure don't want to get to number three. Amen. And I put it this way, that's funny, that's not agape love, amen. Now that is Virginia Mosier kind of love, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, or she said, if Brother Jack tries to leave me, I'll kill him. That's what she said now, I'm telling you the truth. What am I saying today? I'm saying this, don't you agree that we need more of this kind of love in our homes? I hope you say yes there. If you say no, something's wrong somewhere. Let me tell you why we need this kind of love, because it's God's love. Let me tell you what makes marriages last. The love of God. Not the eros love, not the phileo love, but the agape love will. God's love always does this. It always causes us to love him back. Then I only want to get started with one more. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you say, Pastor Jody, what are you going to be preaching on for the next three services? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm just going to turn here today and give you one of these, okay? Because after this, I think there's about 15 more. So God willing, I'll give you about five tonight. Next Sunday morning, five more. Sunday night, the last five, whatever it is. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let me just read down to where I'm going to get to here, and we'll pick up here tonight, okay? By the way, if you think, well, he's just going to preach on that, I can just read that myself. I don't need to come back. Listen, Come back and listen to a man of God who studied it out, dug it out, because every one of these things have tremendous truth for your home and marriage. Notice verse number one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that word charity there is agape. It's love. It's another word for love. And it's the agape. So anytime you see charity, that is agape. It said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, that's agape, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, that's agape, it profiteth me nothing. And then he starts a list. Charity. So here's the final point. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love. That's what it is. It's charity. It's this Bible word charity, agape. Let's just start with the first one, verse 4. This is as far as we'll get today. Charity suffereth long. Agape love suffers long. You say, well, I've got that and down. I've suffered a long time in my home. I'm telling you, I got it. I know somebody's thinking about that right now, and you just proved it because you laughed at what I just said. You know what these words mean? Now, by the way, whose love are we talking about? So when I explain this, this is how he loves you, okay? Be blessed by it. But also be convicted by it. Be changed by it. This is how he loves me. How does he love me? He suffers long with me. These words mean long-spirited. They mean forbearing, patient, or patiently enduring. That's what it means. In other words, it's willing to suffer for the other one's good. It defers wrath. It puts wrath aside. It may have a right to be mad, but it's not going to act on it. Suffers long. It suffers all the weaknesses, all the ignorances, all the errors, and all the infirmities of another. Look here. It does not retaliate. See why you need to come back for the rest of these? Because I'm only getting started with this. Come back and hear somebody dug it out. Get some of these golden nuggets out. It means it's not going to respond in anger. You glad God doesn't retaliate? Where would we be if God retaliated? Now think. The idea is it takes a long time before fuming and breaking into flames. I want to ask you a question. Are you patient with your spouse? Or you just fly off the handle all the time? One of Abraham Lincoln's most outspoken political enemies was a man named Edwin Stanton. Stanton called Lincoln, and I quote, a low, cunning clown, and I quote, an original gorilla. That's what he told. That's what he called Lincoln. He even said this, I quote, it is ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they could find one easily in Springfield, Illinois. To Lincoln's credit, he never responded to these insults. Yet when he was elected president, guess who he chose to be his Secretary of War? You know what I'm getting ready to say, don't you? Would you? So I wouldn't put him as secretary. I'd put him on the front line of the war is what I'd do with him. When asked why, Lincoln said this, and I quote, because he's the best man. Later, when Lincoln had been assassinated, Stanton stood by the coffin which contained Lincoln's body, and he said through his tears this quote, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. Something changed, didn't it? What changed that man? Somebody suffered long. Somebody had patience. Somebody refused to retaliate. And in the end, it changed the person who had the wrong spirit. More illustrations of this same suffereth long, patience, enduring, is Stephen and his stoning in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. And also the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34. You say, what do you mean? That's the verses that says this, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the Lord. And the malefactors, the thieves, one on the right hand, one on the other, on the left. Remember the first thing he said? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's be honest. If our mate is all the time just this and this and spatting out the mouth and everything else, let's just be honest. They don't know what they're doing. They think they do. They think they have a right for it. They don't have a clue. And I'm going to tell you what we need. Because everybody spats out more than they should. If you have a perfect marriage, number one, if you say you do, you are lying to us. But if you think you have a perfect marriage, I want to be in the back. I wouldn't mind you signing my Bible because I want to get to know you. Nobody has a perfect marriage. But we can have a godly one. We can have one that pleases God. And we can have one that actually honestly feels like a little piece of heaven on earth. I have one of those, thank God. If you do, you ought to get on your face and thank God for it. But if you don't, you shouldn't give up. You should say, God, give me your love. Now, Lord, you see that, you see that, you see that. God, help me suffer long. Don't let me throw in the towel. Just help me be patient. Help me be like you. We're only getting started, friends. That's the first one in 1 Corinthians 13. And it's like, good night, do we even want to open back to that or not? You know what the love of God does? It's supernatural. If you say, I'm there, come on, friends, nobody's there. But we ought to strive to be. We ought to desire to be. You understand what I'm saying to you? And this right here, we've looked at four things today. We're going to give you four to five more tonight, okay? This is the love of God. It constrains us. It causes us to love Him back. It not only constrains us and causes us, but it also calms us. It casts out fear. It brings comfort. It brings peace. And then just the first one here in 1 Corinthians 13, it suffers long. He's not sitting back and saying, I can't believe you did that. I'm gonna take you out. No. He's patient. Aren't we glad that He loves us just like those? That's just four things today. But aren't you glad His love is defined by those four things? And that's how He's commanded us. It's not an option. He's commanded us to love our mates the same way. And to love one another the same way. Which means we all have to arrive to this point, I can't do that. But because it's God's love, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me yield to Him and let Him love through me. This is it. The good Lord willing, we'll pick up with point number two from 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. And I hope you'll be back to hear it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you bless this? Challenge us with these thoughts. Thank you and praise you that this is how you love us. And Lord, challenge us that this is how we're to love one another, especially our marriages, especially our homes. God, help us to get it. Now, as we look at these things together, and they're beginning to prepare for the invitation time today. I wonder today, what is God saying to you? What is the Lord speaking to you? As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. And I start this invitation with this thought. This is how God loves us. This is how God loves the world. This is how God loves you. And if you're here today, but you have never trusted Him, you've never asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, you don't know God, but you have a desire to learn more about this God who loves you like this. This love that is constraining love, it'll stop you in your tracks. This love that's a calming love, it'll bring peace to your troubled heart. This love that is a love that causes love in return. And this love that God has, that He's just very patient. He suffers long. He could retaliate, but He doesn't, because He loves us. He cares about us. He wants to bless us. If you're here today and never trusted Him, you're missing out on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And that is trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. If there's one today, say, Jody, if I die just like I am, I do not know for sure that heaven's my home. I do not have that assurance, but I sure wish I did. I don't have it, but I wish I did. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Is there somebody here? Say, Jody, pray for me. I am not a Christian, or I'm not sure, but I want to be. I desire to be. I want to know Christ. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'm not even sure I know Him as my Savior, but I sure wish, I wish I did. Let me ask you this question. What about your love? I'm talking to married couples now. What about your love for one another? Is God speaking to you? Is God telling you, hey, let me tell you what you need? It's not your mate needs to change or that needs to change. Let God tell them that. God will tell them that. But let God speak to you. What do you need to do? What is God saying to you? Not to them, to you. By the way, if your marriage is the greatest that you think it can be, and I'm trusting that that's many homes here today, and you say, yes, our marriage is great, let me tell you the secret to keeping it that way, this message. Make sure it's the agape love that you're living for. Make sure it's God's love that's governing your marriage. If you ever fall out of love with one another, that is never agape love, ever. Agape love never falls out of love with its object. Never. Never. You may lose phileo, you may lose eros, but you cannot lose agape love. That's not agape love. Maybe God's speaking to you. Your marriage could be the best marriage on planet Earth, and the Holy Spirit can speak to you and say, the preacher's telling you straight. Why don't you bring your wife, men? Do we ever live in a day where men need to lead? Where men need to take the bull by the horns and say, glory to God, by God's grace, my family's going to do this. Why don't there be some men in just a moment when we extend this invitation? If God's leading you to do this, only if God's leading you to do it, won't you grab your mate by the hand and say, let's go pray, sweetie. It may shock her. She may have a heart attack, but bring her anyway. And say, let's go pray and ask God to build our home on agape love. Let's ask God to fill our home with agape love. I hope you'll do it, men. Hope some of you ladies will respond, even if your husband doesn't. Obey the Lord. We have Brother Gary to begin to sing. If God's speaking to you, Father, would you take it and use it? Help people to respond. Please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together as quietly as we can. As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, if you feel led of God, maybe somebody you're dating, maybe you're not even married yet, but it's heading that direction and you know that, and you say, I'm going to tell you something, sweetheart. We love each other today. We know that. But let's make sure we build this on agape love. Asking God. As Brother Gary sings, come on now. Would you do it? Come on, from the balcony down below. Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord.
God, help us build it on agape love. Help us build it on God's love.
Thou art the potter.
Not on the physical love, not on the eros love, not on the phileo love, on the agape love. This is it.
Mold me and make
me. This is what we need. It's what our marriages need.
After thy will.
Build it on God.
While
let God's love govern your relationship.
Waiting,
this is it.
Yielded.
You know if the Lord's speaking your heart. Just obey the Lord. Brother Gary's singing on. Come on. Come talk to God about
way,
it. Give it to God.
Lord,
let the Lord have it.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Playing through softly, you can look this way. We're about done. Remind you, if you're visiting with us, please take your visitor's card out and get your free gift at the Welcome Center. Remind you about the soul-winning training at 5:30. If you'd like to come get your spiritual axe sharpened a little bit, come. Prayer meetings at 6 o'clock. We'll be continuing with this same thought right here tonight, trying to help us have the love of God governing our homes. Remind those that are interested in the mission trip to Nova Scotia this summer to meet Brother Gary. Is that in the Berean classroom, Brother Gary? Okay, the Berean classroom, just right here to my left, going to the educational wing, second classroom on the right, also known as the Blue Room. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Hope you see the heart of your pastor, friends. I want to help you have the home that God wants you to have. But I can't do it. You can't either. But He can. And may the Lord help us see this. Amen. Brother Buddy, good to have you back home. If you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray, sir, please.